You have your Bibles. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I don't know if you noticed those last two songs. The heading which they fall under is spiritual conflict and victory. And we may forget at times, but the Christian life is a battlefield. Day by day. Hour by hour, we face a spiritual warfare. We have an enemy who's real. And we've already heard Brother Stavenhagen talking about that. And he wants nothing more than to defeat and destroy. That's what his goal is to defeat us. Last week, we were looking at Paul's exhortation in chapter 2. The end of that chapter, we were looking at his exhortation for us to stand fast and hold the traditions. Stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught. Now, we learned that traditions there, we're talking about what the apostles transmitted to this church before they had the scriptures complete. And so he's talking about the Word of God. He's not talking about man's traditions. He's not talking about religious traditions that are not based on the Word of God. He's talking about the Word of God. We're to stand fast. We're to defend it. We're to stand for it. And we are to hold to it. Cling tightly to the truth, because our adversary, the devil, he is at work constantly waging warfare through tribulations, through temptations and lies. And that's what was taking place at this church. Satan was warring against this church, trying to defeat this church, trying to stop the advancement of the gospel. And you know, we as Christians, we talked about last week that we're in constant danger of wandering from the truth and wandering from the God that we love. We looked at that hymn last week, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," and it talked about prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to wander from the God I love. We have that tendency, and so that's why we need this exhortation to stand fast, to hold to the truth of the Word of God, because really, the Spirit's sword is the only offensive weapon we have besides prayer. You know, I wonder that I'm not going to ask you to say, but I just wonder how many tonight in this room, this past week, how much time did we spend in the Word of God? I wonder if we were to take that and compare it to how much time we spend on Facebook or TV or something of that nature. I wonder, you know, really, we need to get serious, Christian. The devil's serious about destroying us. And the only thing that we have to combat against his lies and all of his attacks is the Word of God. That's all we have. You know, Paul, recognizing the impossibility of God's people of standing fast and holding to the truth in their own strength, he prayed for them. Remember that last couple of verses in chapter 2 where he was praying for them. He prayed that God would comfort. He said, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And so clearly we see Paul's dependence on the Lord. He was praying to the Lord to work in and through them. He knew that they needed the Lord's power to do the work of God, to withstand the enemy. And like Paul, tonight our confidence must be in the Lord to stand and trust or stand and hold fast. And you know, I want to talk tonight a little bit about, you know, this. There's man's part and there's God's part in the Christian life. And it will really help you if you understand this. That our part, stand fast. Hold cling to the truth. You know, I tell you, one of the ways we can cling to the truth is hearing the Word of God. I mean, that's one way. I mean, we should hear it. I mean, the Bible even talks about a blessing for those that hear. We can also read the Word of God. We can read it. We can meditate in it. And that's something that we often don't practice. And I'm not going to preach on that tonight, but it'll probably be coming Sunday evening or something like that. It'll be coming soon. But meditation, memorizing Scripture, that's how we can cling to the truth. Did you know that when you're in a battle with this devil, and he is opposing you, and he is feeding your mind lies, or you're just in a dark, deep valley, and you can't see God, how are you going to get through that battle if you don't have Scripture in your heart? If you don't have Scripture in your heart, how can the Holy Spirit bring it up to help you use that against Satan's attack? I mean, you think about Jesus. How did he fight the devil? How did he overcome? The Scripture, the Word of God. And obviously he had it memorized, because I don't think he was carrying a scroll out there in the wilderness. He had it hidden in his heart. He had memorized it. He had meditated in it. He was able to use it effectively. And that's what we need to do. That's our part. God's part is to enable us by comforting our hearts, establishing us in every good word and work. You know, I want you to, before we attack here these first five verses in chapter 3, hold your place. I want you to go to Psalm 44. I want to give a couple of illustrations of what I'm talking about before we get into our text, because it's important you understand what we're talking about. In Psalm 44, if you will look at verse 4, we're going to read verse 4 through 8. I want you to listen very carefully as I read these verses. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Through thee we will push down our enemies. Through thy name we will tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and hast put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and praise thy name forever. Selah. Now I want you to notice David said something in the midst of these verses I read. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. You know, does that mean that David didn't use his bow? Did David not use his sword? No, I think he did. But what he is saying here, he was not trusting in his sword. He was not trusting in his bow. He was not trusting his skill. But his trust was in God. Because notice what he said, through thee we will push down our enemies. Through thy name we will tread them under that rise up against us. You see his trust and dependence on God? I want you to notice that those two concepts. He used his sword. Yes, he used his bow. It says he pushed down the enemies. He didn't just sit passively and say, okay, God, I want you to take care of my enemies. I'm just going to sit back and watch you wipe them out. No, he had to do his part. He had to go to battle. He had to fight. But notice his trust was in the Lord. There's another verse I read this morning in Psalm 18. If you want to turn there, Psalm 18, just one verse. In Psalm 18, verse 29, he said, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Isn't that good? He said, for by thee I've run through a troop. You know, this is talking about warfare here. And I know that in these Psalms there was some physical warfare going on. But we're making application to spiritual warfare tonight. That as we engage in spiritual warfare and conflict, You know, we have to use the weapons God has given us. But I want you to stop and think about it. There's more to it than that. Let me just explain. We come to church. We praise God. We pray. We preach. We teach. All those things are great. But would you agree with me that if God did not bless, that those things would accomplish nothing? I mean, we're really good today at churches of just resting in programs, resting in personalities, promotions, but not in God's power. We need God's power. That's what we need. We need God to empower us. Yes, we need to be engaged in all these things. But I share this because when we read these verses, I want you to see Paul's dependence on God. Paul was not just, you know, out there preaching and expecting that God was just going to bless that. But he was literally putting his trust and hope in God to bless his preaching and so on. His trust was in God. You know that song? You know, I want to say this again. We're not just to sit passively waiting on God to work for us or deliver us from our enemies. But like the song, we're stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. You know, he talks about in that second verse that we're go forth to the mighty conflict. And, you know, we're to obey that trumpet call. We're to do our part. We're to stand. Stand fast, like Paul said. But we'll get to the third stanza in that a little bit later in the message. Because tonight I'm going to address a different danger. Last week we were talking about standing fast and holding to the truth. That's a danger of us neglecting that. There's a danger that we just let this go, that we don't cling to the Word of God. We don't hide it in our heart. We don't meditate in it. We don't study it. We don't hold to it. And we accept churches accepting all kinds of false teaching. And I saw something today, Union Seminary in New York. And of course, it's a modernist seminary. I understand that. But I just want you to understand that on the internet, it says that it is a Christian seminary. But the professor in one of the classes here recently had a bunch of plants out there in the room before her class. And she was sitting and teaching class, and she was confessing her sins to these plants. And she was asking the people in the class, that, you know, have you, and those plants were God's. This is going on in seminaries today in the United States, and that are Christian. Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff out there. There's a danger not holding fast, standing fast. But the other danger is that we're addressing tonight is not living by God's power, not doing the work in God's power. Trying to go at the battle in our own strength. I want you to look at 2 Corinthians. We'll get to 2 Thessalonians, I promise. I'm just trying to prepare the way, okay? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and 4 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." I want you to notice what he talks about here, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. In other words, they're not fleshly. We don't fight this warfare we're engaged in with carnal weapons. In other words, with our personality, with our skill, with our strength, with our labor, with what we do. We don't fight that way. But the weapons, it says, mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. I want to say tonight, and I'm sure most of you are going to agree with this just verbally, but I hope that we agree with it heart with our heart, that Satan, he is a powerful foe.
Amen.
He is a powerful foe. But aren't you thankful God gives His people power to overcome Him? Weapons to overcome Him? How do we take hold of God's power and fight with these spiritual weapons? How can we show our trust in God as we are preaching, as we are teaching, as we are praying, as we are serving Jesus, as we are trying to walk with Him, as we're trying to witness for Him? How do we take hold of His power? How do we stand fast and show that we're trusting in God? I want to tell you there's only one way. It's through prayer. And that's what this passage, verse 1 through 5, is about, is prayer. That is the topic tonight, is prayer, fueled by our confidence in God. And look in verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course, and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting of Christ. You know, Paul recognized here that both he and these believers needed God's help in this spiritual war. He turns his attention here to prayer. He is demonstrating, as the Apostle Paul, his confidence was not in his power as an apostle, but it was in the Lord Himself. His confidence was in God. And listen, our confidence and for whatever we might need or face is only to be found in the Lord. An unending trust in Him. His faithfulness. I like what he said. The Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. You know, that kind of goes back to the prayer he prayed in chapter right before this chapter, where he was praying the Lord to comfort their hearts and establish you in every good word and work. He reminds them then after that prayer, you know what? The Lord is faithful. A lot of times we don't pray. You know why we don't pray? We don't have confidence in God. We think, well, God hasn't answered my prayers.
Amen.
So we don't pray. We think, why pray? If God didn't answer my prayers, why pray? Well, there can be a lot of reasons for that. I believe God hears the prayers of His children. How He answers them, I mean, it may be obstacles that are keeping us from getting those prayers answered. And I'm not going to go into that now, but there are many different reasons. But I want to just focus on tonight, right now. We need to have confidence in our God.
Amen.
That He loves us. He wants us to come to Him and pray. And He wants to meet our needs. I mean, as long as we've taken care of sin in our life, we've confessed our sin to God, we're not have any sin that we're holding on to that would keep God from answering our prayer, as long as we have that clean heart before God, listen, God will hear. He wants to hear and He wants to answer. May not answer it the way we want Him to, but listen, God, we can put confidence in God. Paul's confidence was in the Lord. He was, you know, confident, he said in verse 4, in the Lord touching you. That ye both do and will do the things which we command you. His confidence wasn't in them. He wasn't thinking, I know you're going to do it because you're good Christians. You're just good people. No, he said, my confidence is in the Lord. I know the Lord is working in you and through you. I know the Lord's going to answer my prayers, and I'm praying for you. I'm confident in the Lord touching you. You know, it just really got a hold of my heart as I studied this today, that Paul's confidence in God and his dependence on God. That third stanza we sang tonight, you may not even pay any attention when you sang it. But it says this, stand up for Jesus. Stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor. Each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. I want to emphasize prayer right there. Put on the gospel armor. Put on each piece with prayer. You know, I'm starting to get this more and more, even though it's taken these many years for me to get this truth. But I've sang this song many, many, many years of my life since I was a kid. I've probably even preached this, but now it means more to me. Now I know what it's saying. You know what? If I haven't been spending time in prayer, I'm not ready for the battles. Christian, if you're only praying 5 minutes a day or if you're not praying at all, listen, you're not ready for the battles. When those battles come and hit you, you're not ready. Satan's going to deceive you. He's going to trip you up. He's going to destroy your faith. A lot of Christians falling by the wayside. A lot of preachers falling by the wayside. Why? Because we're not putting on the gospel armor of prayer. That's where the armor, when we walk with God and we talk with Him and we pray and we spend time with Him, that's when the armor is put on. That's when we can face the day. That's when we can walk through the day and know that, you know, God's on our side. And if we're walking with Him through the day, we start in the beginning of the day and we walk with Him through the day. I read this quote. I remember who it was. It might have been John Piper. I don't know. Prayer is the power that wields the weapon of the Word. Prayer is the power that wields the weapon of the Word. I thought that was good in light of what Paul prayed. Pray for us that the Word of the Lord might have free course. Paul wasn't depending on the Word alone. He was asking them to pray that God would bless the Word as it went forth. You know, Paul, you think about it, here's a giant of the faith. He wrote more books of the New Testament than any other of the apostles. This great man of God, he humbly sought the prayers of this church. I mean, isn't that something? As great of a Christian as he was, he recognized he needed God's power. He needed the prayers of God's people. Even those he was teaching to grow, how to grow in Christ. Even those that may have been considered babies in Christ or little children in Christ. He said, I want you to pray for me. That's pretty humbling. I'm sure this church is humbled by the fact that their spiritual father was asking them to pray for him. I hope we can realize that even on our best days spiritually, we're still powerless to win any spiritual battle without God's intervention. Through prayer, I want to say we acknowledge our dependence on God. Why should we pray? Well, to show our dependence on Him. I mean, God has somehow chosen in His sovereignty to work through prayer. I don't know why, but that's why He's chosen. Because He wants us to live in dependence on Him. If we don't pray, then we're not dependent on Him. We're dependent on ourselves. If we don't pray as we start today, guess what? We're saying, I can handle this myself today, Lord. I've got it all covered. Now, if we really stop and look at our our lives and look at the things that each of us may be facing in our own personal life or in our own family life, we'd be thinking, oh my, I need to spend a lot of time in prayer every day. I mean, if Paul is someone as spiritual as he understood that. Why don't we? Why don't we? You know, it's through prayer we're reminded that we're in this spiritual battle together when we pray for one another. We realize we're not alone. It's comforting to know that you're not the only one who needs to be comforted. You know, it's really selfish to think we're the only ones that's really suffering or hurting for Jesus. Remember Elijah? Lord, I'm the only one. God said, no, I've got 7,000 over here that hadn't bowed the knee to Baal. You know, prayer keeps us humble. It's we have this tendency to go, do, to plan and act rather than pray and wait. And when we don't pray, we're showing a lack of wisdom because we're trusting ourselves, not God. We're not demonstrating humility. If we're so good and strong that we don't need God, then we're pretty proud. You know, when we pray, it demonstrates humility. This is what Paul was doing. He was demonstrating that humility. And I want to look very quickly. His first request that he prayed or asked for was, I believe, for the advancement of the gospel, because he said, I want you to pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course. You know, the focus of this prayer request was, Paul was saying, was the message, not necessarily the messenger. It was more the message, because Paul knew it was the message that was going to transform their lives. It was the gospel, is the power of God and the salvation. So he's praying that as the word of God would have free course. This word free course, it means that it might run swiftly. In fact, it's translated many times throughout our New Testament, run. Hebrews 12:1, we're talking about run with patience the race that is set before us. You know, laying aside every weight and the sin was so, that's so easy to beset us. That word run is the word here. Free course, the course here, the course he's talking about is a running course. Free means no hindrances, nothing holding back, that it's running quickly. That's what he's talking about. I think Paul's alluding to Psalm 147:15. I'm not going to turn there because I have it in my notes, but you can write it down. Psalm 147:15. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. Amen. That's what Paul's idea is in this request. Pray for us that the word of God would run swiftly without any kind of hindrance, because Paul realized Satan was going to set up every kind of obstacle to stop the advancement of the gospel. He was going to set everything, every barrier in place that he could, whether it was to hinder the messenger or to hinder the message with false teaching. You know, someone wrote this. Paul was saying, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed on in triumph. What a great prayer for us to pray every Sunday before church, every Wednesday before church, every time before Grow Outreach. When we pray for our missionaries, this is a great prayer to pray. That the word of the Lord have free course, that it run very swiftly. Because you know what? Our time is short, isn't it? We need the gospel to advance swiftly. It needs to go swiftly. So he said, pray for us. The second request, I think, when he says, and be glorified even as it is with you, is for the acceptance of the gospel. He not only prayed for the advancement of it, but for the acceptance of it. You know, the word of God is glorified when sinners repent and receive the gospel. Because that's what they did. And remember in 1 Thessalonians 1, how that they received the gospel that Paul had come there to preach at Thessalonica, how that even in much affliction, it says they received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. I mean, they were in samples. The word of the Lord was glorified in this church, of how these people turned from serving idols to serving the living God. And so he said, pray that the word of God would not only advance swiftly, but pray for his acceptance. Pray they'd be glorified. Souls would be saved. Lives would be transformed. And so God can be glorified. That's a pretty good prayer request to pray as well. It's a biblical prayer that we should pray. And there's a third request I see in verse 2. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. He prayed for the antagonism against the gospel. The antagonism against the gospel. You know, there's a lot of antagonism. You don't believe it? Go out and preach on the street. Go to Walmart and start preaching. I guarantee you people will start pushing you away and start calling you names, and there's going to be antagonism. Paul prayed that we might be delivered. You know, there's no doubt that there's some element of self-preservation in this request, but I believe his primary aim was for the purpose of advancing the gospel. I don't think Paul was so selfish to say, oh, I just want to be protected. I don't want to be suffering for Jesus. I don't want to take my cross up. And, you know, no, it wasn't that at all. He realized that, you know, Satan, you know, the word of God is not bound. The Bible tells us that in 2 Timothy 2:9. Satan is impotent against the word of God. He can't do anything when it's accurately proclaimed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Satan can't oppose that. He can try to deny it, get people to believe lies about it, to add to it, subtract from it. But I think one of his primary means is to attack the messenger, to undermine those that preach. He will have them in prison. Satan has people that serve him under his influence, and he will use them to imprison messengers of the gospel, to kill them, to distract, to detain them, there's deception. There's all kinds of means that he will use to stop the messenger and the message. I mean, Paul here in Thessalonica, remember, he was forced out. And then he wrote in chapter 2, verse 18, in that first epistle, I have sought to come to you time and again, but Satan hindered us. How did Satan hinder him? Through unreasonable and wicked men. That's how. You know, Paul closes this section with another prayer in verse 5. He prayed. This is a prayer. And Lord, direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. This is not a prayer request, but this is something he was praying for them. You know, I want you to think about this prayer. The Lord direct your hearts. That word direct. Our hearts need direction. Remember last week, we're prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to lead the God I love. Our hearts are prone to get off course. Our hearts are prone to wander over here and wander over there with this lust or this sin or this pleasure or that. That's our heart. It's deceitful, desperately wicked. It's wandered all over the place. And he's praying the Lord to direct their hearts to the love of God. I think this could be twofold or threefold. I think primarily it's their love for God. Like Paul said, I'm constrained by the love of Christ. You know, that, there's two sides to that. I mean, His love for us, yes. He's, as our hearts are directed to His love to us, then it's, we love Him because what? He first loved us. So it's our love for Him and His love for us, yes. And our love for one another, that's how we show the love of God, is it not? We're to love as Christ loved us. We're to show that love to each other. So our hearts constantly need to be redirected to the love of God and patient waiting for Christ. How many of you have used GPS? Maybe some of you have it in your car or maybe on your phone. Don't you love it when you get off course and the GPS voice, turn around! Turn around here and turn around. I mean, it's like, shut up, I know. I meant to go this way. And it's constantly having to redirect and redirect and redirect. And every way you go off course, it's constantly redirecting to get you where your destination should be. And that's the Holy Spirit. He works just like a GPS. We get off over here. He's like, hey, get back over here. Let's not fight against His voice like we do that GPS sometimes. You know, this would be a great prayer for us to pray for one another. Pray that the Lord would direct our hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Patient waiting. I mean, that means, yes, looking for Him to come, but enduring the trials, enduring the attacks, enduring whatever trials, temptations, tribulations, sicknesses, heartaches, heartbreaks, whatever it is. Patiently waiting means we're enduring because we're waiting for Jesus to come to deliver us from this present evil world. And that brings me to that last stanza. I thought this was so cool how it all worked out this way, that this song, stand up for Jesus. The strife will not be long. Aren't you glad for that? We're in a warfare daily. Some of you, maybe even this very moment, and you're facing some battles that you're fighting, but it will not be long. This day, the noise of battle, I like this, the next, the victor's song. It ain't going to be long, Christian. Just hold it. Stand fast. Hold to the truth. Because before long, we're going to be singing that victor's song in heaven. To those who vanquish evil, a crown of life shall be. They shall with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Patiently waiting for Christ to come. You know, this passage underlies the importance of the spiritual discipline of prayer. How desperately we need to pray for one another. How desperate we need to pray ourselves. For our families, for our children. Because there ain't anybody around us that's not facing spiritual battles. Sometimes we see people maybe go in the wrong direction in the Christian life, or we are quick to judge them, we're quick to lash out at them, we're quick to show no compassion. But can we just stop and realize that person is going through a spiritual battle? Satan is waging war on them. And here we are, aiding Satan and tearing them down. God help us. We should be praying. God deliver them from the evil. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We thank You for the example of Paul, his humility, his dependence on You, and his prayer life. Lord, he realized that there's no way we can win this spiritual warfare against our adversary in our own flesh. It's impossible. The only way we can win that battle is by the mighty power of God. And Lord, help us to realize that we get that power through prayer, through dependence on you. Lord, just like the hymn teaches us that we put on each piece of that armor with prayer. Lord, convict us about our prayer lives. Help us to reignite the prayer lives, to realize how important it is to pray, to be prepared for the spiritual battles we might face that day, or that our children or our church members might be facing, our missionaries. Lord, that we might realize that you have taught us to pray for these things, and that's where the battle's won, through prayer. Lord, we thank you for what you're teaching us tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you're good to us and giving us this weapon of prayer to be able to have the victory over these satanic attacks that we're facing. That you've given us the sword of the Spirit as an offensive weapon against Satan's lies. Lord, help us to use these weapons well and to depend upon you, Lord, not upon our flesh. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to apply this. Lord, it really was a waste of time tonight if we don't try to go home and apply this in some way. Lord, help us to make application and to pray more. Pray for one another. Lord, I pray for each and every one here tonight, you would direct our hearts into the love of God, the patient waiting, Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you and thank you for all that you're going to do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.